That ain't DDF.
KCACSU.
That ain't DDF.
Good morning,
W8FU. W8FU.
N8WRO Richmond. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning. I think Dakota doesn't have his volume up or something. But how are you doing on this fine evening, morning, evening? What the hell was I thinking?
Oh, doing quite well. Nothing particular going on. I was listening and looking at the dashboard. It looks like Richmond was like ker-chunking. I'm listening on the input, and I don't hear anything. So, and then Dakota is out there, but I'll leave a spot for him and see if he can connect now. Maybe he's in his dead zone.
NADF.
Good morning, Dakota. Join the conversation, which is about good morning.
Aha, I think I found it out. Dakota's on Richmond, but he's not quite making it for some reason.
Yeah, we're hearing you, Dakota, but you don't seem to be hearing us.
Try again, Dakota, and I'm watching the dashboard.
Let me try texting.
Well, you might be in XYL's car with that setup he's got, so maybe it's just not quite cutting it this morning. I don't know. NAWRO.
Oh, my God, I'm an idiot. Sorry, the RF beam was turned all the way down again.
There you go. We said, I just texted you to say, we're hearing you. You're not hearing us.
Yeah, that's much better there. Now we can hear you. So I'm thinking that you must have been triggering Richmond's repeater then. I'm thinking, what the heck's going on here? Dakota, over to you.
Morning, Jen. Yeah, it dawned on me. I'm like, wait a minute, because I literally just did this with Sean the other day. And I was like, man, all I did last night was take it out of this bag and put it in this bag, but I forgot I relocated the mic. So I had to disconnect it, take the face off, in turn, moving VRF gang. So here we are, gentlemen. I apologize. I've got a cheap dual bander coming today that's going to live in this truck under the seat. So there we go. Good morning.
84 is GYQ. Yeah. All right, Dakota. Well, finally, welcome to the morning drive. Nothing going on except for your RF gang. So it happens to the best of us. Got Tim up there in Richmond and myself, about the only ones besides you, and then Joe just chimed in. So I'm going to pass over to Joe and then give it to Tim.
Guys, I don't want to break up your roundtable there for going to work. I just want to say good morning and say you guys are booming into the Mount Clements 8. What was it? I'm looking at the transfer. Anyhow, the transmit frequency. But the Mount Clements repeater, you guys are 50 to 60 over on mine over here. So have a good day. Just want to say good morning and wave at you. Over to Tim from KU4ZYQ listening out.
Good morning, Joe, and good morning, Dakota, as well. Yeah, it kind of reminds me, I got this three-position AB switch because Wally gave me that T25, so I had to put that in line. And if you forget to throw it, that's not a good thing. So I've been there as well. Over to Dakota.
Yep, I'm not used to the shack in the box radios, and I was going through the menu on the memory, and I'm like, wait a minute. It's set to RF gain, not squelch, and then it dawned on me. But I was really worried. I was like, no, my finals, it's dead. But the SWR meter, I was looking at that. I'm like, this thing's not even moving. What's going on? And I checked the antenna, so here we are. Rookie mistake. And second time I've done that in last month. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, now is that RF gain set up to where, like, the first half of its rotation is RF gain and the second is, and then once it passes the midway point, it becomes squelch? Because I know, like, on my ICOM, you can custom set it up that way. You know, there's a few ways you can set it up. You can set it up strictly as an RF gain, strictly as a squelch, and then that halfway thing, which is the way I run mine. So it's like every time I go to diddle with that radio, I take it up till I just see the squelch bar, and then I take it back down, you know, for HF work. So, but is it the same way where it's like squelch and RF gain? Who gets the next, Joe?
Nope, I was one and done. You guys have a good day. Thanks for letting me jump in there briefly just to say hello, wave a hand, and say you're hitting me at 50 to 60 over 9, so very good. KE4ZYQ, clear. Go ahead, Tim.
Pass it straight to Dakota for that answer on the gain.
I can answer that real quick. No, it's one or the other, and it's on the other, and that's what screwed me up. And I don't think I had the message. This radio is very, very menu-driven, and I don't know it yet. So I don't know if I can set it for the specific channel or if I've got to do it. You know, it's one. It's the whole band. So there's that, but. Sweet radio. I love the thing. Just need to learn how to use it. Go ahead, Tim.
Just a quick question for Sean, not to change the topic, and I'll jump out, but redoing the Skywarn document here in Eusika used to be our backup. I think we may have asked you this. Is it okay to go ahead and make FBI the backup for the Skywarn when it comes around next season? Over to Sean, please.
Yes, if that's what you guys want to do, then that's absolutely, you know, fine and appropriate. You know, if everybody in your organization is good with, you know, UHF, I think in this day and age,
there's probably more UHF radios than VHF out there, so I can't imagine why it would be a problem, but certainly, if it works for you, it's certainly okay here.
Okay, I appreciate that. It's the consensus seems to be at the last meeting we had the other day, but we needed to clear it with you 100%, obviously. So with that, I'll jump out, but I'll be listening. Dakota, go ahead. Have a good morning, guys.
Thanks, 773. Sean, go ahead.
Yep, I'll check with Phil. I'm sure he'll have no problem with it. But if so, you know, we'll just have to have a script that disconnects from Central Michigan, because they'll be running MyCon likely. And if I'm connected there, then MyCon would be coming over my repeaters. And so that's not good. So we'll have to have a script that if we light up Skywarn, not only do we make sure we're disconnected from everything on the 7.2, but we also would have to make sure that we're disconnected from the everything on the 2.6, including Phil, if he doesn't want to be involved in Macomb County Skywarn. But I don't think he'll have a problem with that. You know, it's adjacent.
Yeah, Dakota, excuse me, I'll jump in. I forgot about that. So, yes, with that caveat, before this activates next season, we need to address that. But I'm hoping John might have his stuff done by then. But if not, then, yeah, we have to ensure that. And just FYI, we're going to stay disconnected on the 7.2, except for Sunday evenings for the state net, for now at least. So we're kind of switching that up a little bit too on the other one. But I will put that caveat in for the Skywarn backup. Obviously, yeah, you're right. We'd have to address that as well. So with that, I should be all set. NAWRO, over to you, Dakota.
By the way, I got that packet that you mailed me. Thank you very much. It's sitting on my desk. And I would like to get involved, so we'll have to touch base on that. I'm building out the kit for it. Go ahead, John.
That's right. It's all fun and games until somebody leaves their RF gain up.
What a kick in the knackers, man. I don't know why it took so long to dawn on me, but here we are.
Oh, I've had the volume too low so many times, you know, and, a couple of times I've had it all the way down because I was on a phone call or something like that, and then I jump back out and, you know, like right in the middle of a conversation, you just kind of like plow out there and you didn't hear it. But most of the time I just had it down really, really low. And so I'll make a call, and then somebody will come back to me, and my speakers are under the seat in the car here, and I'll just hear from under the car, I'll just hear, boom, 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 boom. You know, it's like, son of a gun.
Yep, it's a struggle. I do that on HF, too. I'm like, why can't I hear these stations, and I have the wrong filter on, or preamp's not on, or it's attenuated. I'm like, oh, there we go. But, I think this is going to be the last commute trip for this radio. I don't want to keep throwing it in the truck. I don't want to keep using it. I mean, I do want to keep using it, but not like this. I got a cheap Anytone coming for $100 that I'm going to blow up and leave in a bag.
Roger. Yep. Well, that works. I just put the 200 in the in my personal vehicle. And I love that radio, but, you know, sometimes I do want to keep an ear on something else, and, you know, the dual watch of the 500 and the 400 is awfully handy. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I may put another radio in the vehicle. I may put a radio on my Motorola XDL, which is UHF analog and T25. I may put that in there, handle, you know, all that work. It's a handheld control head, so, you know, it could literally just be lost in the glove box when I'm not using it. And then keep the 200 in there for VHF and UHF, but you know, that means I got to have two antennas, and that's kind of a place I don't want to go. I don't want to start entering into the whacker arena.
I feel like I'm in the whacker arena right now. I got a bright orange signal stick on the top of a black truck. I walked out to it yesterday. I'm like, man, that looks so dumb. So what did you have in your personal car before? Your 500's in the work car. What did you have in your other car?
No, I had the 500 in my personal car. I had my 400 was in there, and then when I got the 200, I put the 200 in. And then when I got the 500, I swapped it out for the 500 in. And then I just put the 200 back in. And the 500's now on the desk in the shack where the 400 used to be. The 400's boxed up. And I got to decide of the three which two I'm going to keep. But yeah, I had the 500 in the personal vehicle. In the work vehicle, I've got this radio I'm talking on now, which is a Motorola XPR 5550. BMR, UHF, and then I've got an APX 8500, which is a tri-band VHF, UHF 800, P25. So that's what I got in this ride. None of the I don't have any hamster stuff in here, but it's my work vehicle.
All right. So what was the motive to go from the 500 to the 200?
Smaller, cute, all I need kind of an affair. Don't need the 500 in there. I just wanted to get some airtime on it. I don't know, I may switch back, but honestly, I just don't need... Now, I've heard that the 300 has the same size control head as the 200, so I will have to see one of those in the flesh to judge, but I like the really compact control head. It hangs from my overhead console right above my mirror really, really nicely. Not that the 500 didn't as well, but you know, it was a bit much.
300 is indeed the same size as the 200. I had one briefly. They're good radios. They're kind of ugly. I know that's stupid to say, but they just don't look good, in my opinion. But it's like the 150, they're good radios. The 200, 300 is the same. It's like, why did they make these radios for like 18 months to discontinue?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I know the 400s have quite a cult following. Maybe I can work out a trade for a 300 or something, and I can run the 300 in that, and then I dump the 200 or something. I don't know. But I basically, I don't ever really use the VHF side. So, but I'd like to have it on at least one of my radios, just in case. There's like two VHF repeaters that I occasionally wouldn't mind having. You know, basically the Mecca and the Dart. And so I guess having VHF in the car is handy.
Stand by. All right. Yeah, I'm the same way. I've got the WALAT machine and Mecca, and those are really the only VHF I ever touch, if I even go over there. But I'm using the crap out of it at my house, but as a base, like my new antenna's coming today, so that's exciting. But I've been having a lot of fun on 2 meters out from the house. Simplexing with Phil and Romeo. Simplexing with another guy in town. So there's a little bit of activity on it. And Greg and I, it cracks me up how good we sound on T-Star.
Yeah, maybe this weekend I'll work on getting my... antenna back up for the 9700, and see if I can join the party. That antenna, like I was telling you the other day, it needs work, and it's nothing difficult. I could do it, you know. I just don't. I don't know why, and I blame it on apathy. But I try to get out there and fix that one because we're running out of nice weather to do it.
you've got, that's on a mast, right? You've got elevation on that thing?
Yeah, that's, I've got one each of those Rode masts I told you about. I've got the non-shippable 40-footer, and then I've got the shippable 37-footer or whatever. And I've got, they've got tri-bit. Well, no, I don't have anything on the top of the 40-footers. That's just a support for my wires. The other one has a has the tri-bander on top, 6, 2, and 440. And I was using that for, using a splitter, I was using that for the 9700 for 2 and 440, and then I was using it on the HF rig for 6. Yeah, that's what props up my 6.2 and 432 antenna, which is out of commission right now.
All right, I think we'll probably be able to do something with that then. Although, I don't know, I have a hard time hitting Warren from my house. I don't know why. But that's FM to a repeater, so maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe sideband will be different, I don't know. But, although, that's because I'm using, yeah, I don't know. We'll have to test it when you get it up in the air. But I already talked to my wife, I'm like, here's the deal. I'm like, this antenna needs to go outside and up high. So, once the yard's done, I'm going to put a mast on the south side of the house, and then it'll be out of the way, and you'll only see it when you're outside looking at it.
You know, honest to God, if I was where you are with all that property and up there, I'd get a tower. You know, you can get an aluminum tower with a fold-over base so that you can just bring it down, work on it, and then just send it back up. You know, just like, if you really want to splurge, you can get a crank-up tilt-over, so you can nestle it down at, you know, about the 26-foot level when you don't want to, you know, then you can crank it on up. But that's getting pretty crazy. You know, you're starting to get into, you know, into the five digits. But I definitely consider putting up, and even if you put up a freestanding, not fold over, I mean, you don't necessarily have to climb. You could run a bucket to, you know, to do the work. You know, if you put up things that are not likely going to, you know, like turnbuckles, you know, or lanyards to run things up and down, chances are you won't ever have to go up at much beyond that. You could probably even configure that while it's going up, and then, but, you know, a crank over, you know, a fold over is the way to go. But honestly, you need a tower, dude.
That'll be the next thing I got a seller on. I mean, I could nonchalantly throw some quick creep with a cookie in the ground and put a mast there, but I think it'd be a tough if I've got an actual tower at the house. As much as I want one, I would love like a 40, 50 footer tower, and then just put whatever the hell I want up there and do whatever I want. But I get it. Same thing as the truck. It's her house too, or else I would be like, yeah, you know what, there's going to be a big tower in the backyard.
Hey, are you late?
There's Anthony, and it's Prince Spaghetti Day.
Good morning, gentlemen. Just running, I got an appointment this morning, so I'm just leaving the house, which is fantastic. I can sleep in.
Oh, good. So you didn't hear me throwing my call out repeatedly this morning.
Nope.
You had a little technical difficulty. Remember when the TV used to flash that? We are having technical difficulties. Please stand by.
With all the color bars.
Yep, I remember when the TV went off at night, and around 11, 12 o'clock, there was no more programming.
Oh, yeah, I remember, you know, when they first did, it was called On TV, I think, and there might have been some other, you know, one in there, but I remember when On TV came up,
you put the little box in your TV, and it had the horizontal sync pulses pulled, so it was just, it wouldn't sync on your TV. And a bunch of, I'm probably in electronics and radio because of that, because I had to know how to get that for free, so I built these little sync pulse, you know, inserters, so that you could get free on TV, and hence started my path down this miserable hobby and profession. Yeah, I wish I didn't spend as much money as I do on this hobby.
It is one of the more expensive ones that I've found myself in. And it's like a slow drip. You don't realize until you take a step back how much money you have invested in it.
That's a good way to put it, for me at least. I mean, a lot of people, they go out and they buy the, you know, they buy the ICOM 7760 and the PW2 amp, so it's a big cash outlay and they're done, you know, but I tend to do it like that, like you said, a little drip, and, you know, I look for deals and all that stuff, but if I step back, it's like, holy Moses, Dakota.
Yeah, it's like, you know, a couple hundred bucks here, 500 bucks there, no big deal, and then you look at your setup and you're like, oh my God, I could have bought a huge boat.
Yep, and I know both of you have way more invested than I do, so I know every once in a while I take a look and go, why do I have all this stuff? But it's fun, that's for sure. Speaking of spending money, Dakota, did you buy that Radiodity radio yesterday?
No, I ordered Anytone UV 7078 UV or whatever the hell. It's just like $120, 25-watt dual bander. Super tiny, 3D printed some rails for it. Gonna throw in a pouch and call today. Go ahead, Sean.
I thought the UV 778 was their flagship DMR. You know, the, that guy's no lights on. That was kind of a surprise. Anyhow, I thought that was their flagship dual band DMR radio, but whatever, you can comment, comes back around.
John, the flagship radio you're talking about is the 578, what Dakota got is closer to like that that Jeep or CB20G that you sold. So, Dakota, I'm interested to see how it works out. I think you're going to like it, having something small, UHF, VHF, in the car like that.
Yeah, Phil's got it, and he said that it's like 6x6, like tiny, tiny little thing. So I'm trying to find a pouch that'll suit my needs. And then, like I said, the goal was to fit it in a pouch in the bag that I carry anyway, so it's, you know, no big deal. It's like supplementing an HT. The only thing that makes me nervous is there's no fan. Granted, it's only 25 watts, or 25, 15, 5, so it's just a big heat sink like the DV20G, but like I said, Phil's got it. He says it's awesome. Armalock makes a cage for it, so it's got to have some sort of following if they're going to make a $200 freaking enclosure for it. So I guess we will see, but I'm just trying to preserve the 857. It's too old. You need the rest.
There you go. Sounds like I'll have to look that one up just to see what we're talking about. But I've arrived at work here, so I'm going to jump out, get inside, and start my day. I will catch everybody from inside on the Cisco in a bit. W8FU.
Have a good day, Sean. Dakota, I think you're going to enjoy that radio. It's going to fit your needs. And the improvement over what I have to what you picked up, besides the additional 5 watts, is it is chirp programmable, where the DV20G is not, and it is a pain in the behind to program it.
All right, Sean, take it easy.
I had a DB20G. I had two of them, actually. The first one I got, there was a screw bouncing around in it. So I returned that one. And then the second one I got, I don't know if the first one got that hot. It was, like, overheating. Like, it got so hot, so I returned them both. They're on sale right now for, like, $80. It cracks me up how cheap you can get a radio now. But you remember programming, it sucked. So, I don't know. I could have got the Redivis version. I got the Anytone. I figure for what I'm using it for, I'm going to have, like, six frequencies in there. You know, that I'm actually going to use. Of course, I'll put more, but it's just supplementing an HT with an amp. It's cheaper than buying an amp, so screw it. Something to mess around with. And it's going to be like an eighth of the size of this 857 with the battery and a bag and all that.
Yeah, it'll be perfect. And like I was telling you, I think it was yesterday, it'll be awesome to be able to hand that off. Like, if you and your wife are in different cars or you and a buddy are caravanning up north, for them to have 25 watts as opposed to 5 on GMRS, it'll be night and day. You get a mag-mount antenna like you're already going to have, and you're going to be in business, man. It'll be awesome.
I just need to talk myself out of the Armalock because it's already on my mind.
Yeah, you know, I'll try to send you some good pictures of what I did with that those boards. Like, I sent you that website. And I don't know if I would even put it in an Armalock if you could find the right size Molly board, because I was able to fasten the battery and the radio right to the board, and it pulls in and out right off with the board out of the bag. So, you know, the Armalock will be awesome, and it has the relocation for the antenna and whatever else you might need, but you might be able to get away doing something a little bit cheaper with something else than Armalock.
Well, as of right now, I 3D printed some rails for it, and there's a SO239 relocation bracket that I'm going to make today. I didn't print it last night because I was making the rails, and it uses the Magpole T-nuts, so it's got like a upper vision for that. So I don't know that I'm going to even need to do anything other than find a bag it's going to fit in and just slide it in. So I don't know. It'll be like this one. I finally got a bag I'm happy with for the 857, so it'll be like that. I'll have to try a couple and figure out what's going to fit best and how I'm going to do it. But I ordered a Dakota Lithium 10-amp hour for the 857, and I'm going to take the 7-amp hour for the 857 and put it with the 778, which should give me weeks of runtime.
Yeah, I would imagine it would. You know, and you may even find that you could use a smaller form factor battery than that. I also know on the DB20, I think that comes with a cigarette lighter adapter. You may find that you could just plug that thing into your cigarette lighter and be good to go, and then just have the battery with you as a backup. And just do Anderson power poles to a cigarette lighter and to the battery.
The problem with all these new trucks is they don't even have a cigarette plug. Mine's a 2024 and it doesn't have one. So her 2026 doesn't have one either. Everything I do has to be USB or straight to the fuse box or battery. Or a battery, which that's kind of the goal, is just keep it as independent as I can so I can just grab it and go. I wish I could figure out a better solution for the antenna because I'm crunching the wire in the door every time I shut it, but for as cheap as they are, if I got to buy a new one every year, whatever.
That is surprising. There is no cigarette lighter at all. Like, even just to plug in as an accessory plug?
Correct. There's not a cigarette plug anywhere. There's USB-A, USB-C on her dash, and then she's got a USB-A, USB-C in the console, I think. Maybe not. Mine, I don't know. Her truck's an LT. It's not that loaded.
But, like, I've got a 110 plug in mine. I've got a USB-A, USB-C in my console. I've got outlets everywhere, but I don't have a cigarette outlet.
That's wild. I mean, I guess it makes sense. There's not a whole lot that you use that for anymore. But it's just shocking that it doesn't exist.
I know. It's one of those things that was abruptly phased out. So, I get it, though. Everyone's using USB-C for their phones and whatnot, and that's primarily what they were, charging with and plugging stuff in with, and no one really has a Garmin anymore because it's all built into our phones. So I get the logic, but it was very abrupt. But I am at work. I'm going to clear out of here. I got to get rolling, but maybe I'll catch you later. Have a good day. NADBF.
All right, I'll catch up with you later. KE8RUH.
Bye.
Bye.
See, the tables are turned, Anthony. Now I'm on the Cisco and you're on the radio.
It is an interesting turn of events, isn't it?
I just wanted to let you see how it sounds. If it sounds any, it almost sounds too good to be radio, which I guess it's not. But now I'm an arm's distance from my phone, so I don't know if that's decreasing or increasing my fidelity. But I know yours is very clear. It almost is uncannily clear.
Yeah, you're coming through very clear. If this is the way that I sound, it's a very good thing. It is super clean and can't mince words, that's for sure.
Yep. So I think you're running DD switch or the iPhone equivalent. This is a Cisco phone doing the whole IAX thing that way. I also have an app. I have not only do I have DB switch on my phone, but I also have GroundWire, which allows me to do my VoIP stuff, so I can go in that way as well. And I don't know if one sounds better than the other, but they use when you consider how poor Echolink sounds, and then how good this sounds. And, it's amazing anybody bothers with Echolink anymore.
Yeah, I use Repeater Phone, which is the iPhone equivalent, like you were saying.
That's right. I remember that name now that you mention it. So I got to get out of here and get to work, but before I do, where do your travels take you this morning?
I am just headed to the doctor for my yearly checkup. Hopefully I'll be in and out quickly. We'll see.
Oh, I thought you were traveling this morning somewhere. So, okay. Just running behind to go get a checkup. All right, very good. Well, hopefully everything comes out okay. You pass the tests and whatever else there is to say. I don't know if break a leg is a good idea to say when you're going to a doctor. All right, after yours, W8FU.
Yep, I'm actually headed your way, going to the Clem to go to the doctor. So I will catch up with you soon, KE8RUH, and have a great day.
Oh, you're saying we need to get breakfast?
If I could, I definitely would. I would love to hit breakfast before I go into the office, but I should try to make it in for a meeting that I have, but we'll see if timing allows it.
Well, I I get it. You're already late. Make it later. All right. Have fun. We'll catch you later. W8FU.
KJO, good morning, and 73D guys, drive safe. Going to Grand Rapids today.
Hello, Tom. You're going to hear it work. Got to get to it. But Grand Rapids, you're going to be on the road for a while.
Yeah, I'll get there about 9:45. Yeah, have you able to find any notes? I got that radio over to Lance.
Oh, yeah, thanks for reminding me. I'll look. But I did check the one place I really thought, and I didn't see anything. I've got one, my original one, which I don't really want to give that one up. It's my the first one I ever did. Let me look around and let you know.
Sounds good to me. No rush. I have wireless internet in my truck now, so... I got that communication capability. All right, get out of there. Get to work. I'll talk to you soon. KJO.
All right. Yeah, I'll dig around, see what I can find. W8FU. Drive safe. Well, I might have all the pieces, parts to make one. So,
Yeah, maybe mobile. KB8ZUZ testing.
KB8ZUZ testing, Mount Clemens.
KE8VSI mobile. WD8KLL. W8FU.
W8FU, KA8UHQ.
STEVE from SDAN.
Yeah, I get all that. Yeah, I think that I'm going to go there for music practice tonight, but I believe that Patsy Bank, I think it's today and tomorrow, or is it yesterday and today, today and tomorrow, in Mount Clemens. So if you want to get a hot one, I'll check to see if they're baking tomorrow, or is it yesterday and today, or today and tomorrow. I'm not sure, but otherwise we'll have frozen ones.
Okay, when can I go? What hours?
I think from like 9 to 3.
So if I was to go by there right now, likely I could go in and grab a couple.
Absolutely. That would be... just go in there, just go in there, just call the signs, whatever, or you can come to, like, the main door, is off of, you can come up and then off of Gratiot, or hit the buzzer to say you're coming from Hampton, and you can come in off to, like, the FCS parking lot, yep.
Yeah, because I'm right here now. So that, if I'm not mistaken, that's at the corner of northbound or southbound in Cass?
Yep, right, like across the street from the Fifth Third Bank,
I might give that a try. Because every time I've missed, forgot, it came and went, and I just didn't get around to it. And damn it, I have no excuse right now. I'm less than a half mile away. I just got to make a quick stop here, and then on my way back, I can make that detour.
Yeah, and you'll get the bonus of it. It smells good too.
Yeah, had I known that 5 minutes earlier, I probably wouldn't have stopped at Taco Bell. I would have done that for lunch.
Yeah, I was going to try to pop in there this morning on the radio and tell you about it. It's coordinated. It sounds like you're getting all squared away there. So, but yeah, sorry about that. I was going to send you an email. I was trying to verify it. It's this week. And pop in there. And they have now beef, chicken, and vegetarian, so it's almost sacrilegious with that. But they do use rutabaga and all that.
Yeah, it'll be nice to try somebody else's, you know. And, I've tried a few, comparing them and all that good stuff. So, all righty, I'll do that. I'm a beef guy. I'm all about the beef. So, quit staring. Good grief. There's a guy, we're trying to get off of the freeway, or the, Grossbeck here, and there was a car cut across the parking lot, so the guy that was coming in off Grossbeck couldn't directly get across. But instead of just, going when he could, he had to sit there and stop and gawk at the guy and all that. I'm like, come on. All right, anyhow, I got to run in here real quick. I'll be right back. W8FU.
Okay, Sean. Yeah, I'm a beef and ketchup, not the gravy. K-8-U-H-T.
K-8-H-R-C Mobile.
Steve, are you still in here? W-8FU.
Yep, so here's Sean.
Can I get the frozens now, or are they just ready to eat now?
You know what? They're going to put them in the packages. You're going to have them. The whole system. I can't remember if this is day two. I know they're going to, I can't remember if this is day one or day two of the bake, but no, they're already freezing them because they bake them in batches. Because it used to be one of those things, if you're just in that community would show up for an event, you just would know they would have these tables out and they would have them cooling, and then, at a certain point you would check them and you just know, you would just help, just kind of jump in to help out. You'd finish, fold them, put them in the foil, and then put a tie, put them in the bag with the little instructions and all the stuff about the church, and then a tie wrap, and then it, But I think you can get both.
Okay, well, just ahead of me here, I can see it, and but the traffic's kind of gummied up, so going to go find out. I think I want to get one not frozen and one frozen, because I might have one tonight for dinner, and that'll leave the other. Man, the traffic is being a bear here. All right, here we go. All right, I'm turning in now. Thanks for the tip.
Hey, Sean. Even if not, you can just wrap them up and take it with you, and you can put it in the freezer. It's all good.
Hey, Sean.
Yeah, go ahead.
Are you getting pasties?
I wanted pasties, but yeah, I'm getting pasties.
Could you grab me one for dinner? I'd gladly pay you Tuesday for a pasty today.
Not a problem. I'll hand deliver it on my way home. All right, I got to jump out. W8FU.
Yep, just straight up beef with gravy. Thanks. To be way down. Well, potatoes, rutabaga, and carrots too, of course. To be way down.
You know, you're about the only other human on Earth I've heard you use that wimpy reference. I use it all the time.
But Dan, Seth, I hope I got you the right week and all that. I believe it is.
Oh, yeah. None frozen yet. They're all ready to eat, so I'll have to get them refrigerated. And no gravy. I didn't realize they didn't have gravy. I know you mentioned something about it. I don't know what ARP likes, but I have found that there's this jar of au jus that they sell in the Kroger, and it's perfect if you like the gravy. But anywho, I nabbed a couple, and we'll see how they are. I'll have one for dinner tonight, but they're really good. I may be back tomorrow for more, except for frozen this time to stock up.
Yeah, they've been doing it for decades, and yeah, this November one was in response to deer hunters or people that are hunters in general. But yeah, I'm a ketchup person. I'm not a gravy person. But everyone's got their preferences.
Roger, ARP, are you still listening?
Yeah, I heard no gravy, but I do have a little jar of gravy I can use in the cupboard, so not a major issue.
All right, if you got it covered, then great. If not, I was going to stop at Kroger's and get a jar of that au jus, and then I could just open it when I get there, and you could container off, you know, half a jar. So let me know, but if you think you got it covered, then so be it.
I got it covered. Thank you very much. W.I.D.O.
Yeah, you got what Timmy's has on their windows in their hand,
so
right?
I'll probably be ding-dong ditching at about 4. So if there's something flaming on your porch, it's not poop. It's a pasty.
Double, but I heard you. Yeah, that's absolutely fine. That'll be about an hour later, and I'll probably munch it down. The other station, go ahead, WIDO.
Yeah, very good. I'm glad that we finally hook up on it. I know we've been talking about it for a while and everything. Anyway, I'm doing some work here, so I'm going to get back to it. Bobby listening, but you can, like a guy I used to work with years ago at Ford, we got into this like sourdough thing, you know, like sourdough, whatever it happened to be. Normally pretzels would travel or whatever. We're always sampling sourdough type things, but I know you got pasties going and whatever or not. But okay, over to you, Sean. I'm going to jump out of here. This is KAAUHT.
Well, I hope these are good, but I hope they're not mind-numbingly good because they don't make them that often. But then maybe that makes the passion for them greater, so I don't know. Maybe, I don't know, mixed emotions. All right, I'm just parking here at work. Got to get inside and get back to it. I will, good grief. They fixed our parking lot, so we have some place to park, and we got no place to park. Good grief. Anywho, I will be back. WNFU.
Yeah, I think they bake them 3 times a year, and about 1,100 each time. So November, I think either January or February, and then I think March or something like that. And then they'll have them, usually have them frozen. Usually can take them, you know, into the beginning of the summer, they'll have them. So that's the way that goes. KAUHT 273.
afternoon. This is Tim, AD8JL. Hope you're doing well. Got a question to throw out there, see if anybody's got any information on this. Are there any packet stations out here in Macomb County, even Oakland County, but Macomb County? Not APRS, I'm familiar with APRS, but an actual packet station. Is there anything like that anywhere around here? I know about the high-frequency ones, but any UHF, VH ones, go on. Love to hear your thoughts. AD8JL.
ABHAL, WI8X, I used to be the packet coordinator for Wayne County a long time ago. I was NHSET at the time.
Very cool. What type of time frame are we talking about?
1200 baud, 2400 baud, and a few other oddball speeds that weren't publicized.
Okay, cool. What type of time frame? Like what years are we talking about?
In the 90s. Back when packet was popular. I had a remote station at the Northfield State Police Post. You could... Well, at the time, you could digipede off of that one hop to Lansing.
That's a pretty good line of sight, Detroit to Lansing. Both sides must have been up pretty high. I just find it interesting because effectively mesh tastic is kind of like ever so simplified packet, and everybody's really excited about mesh tastic. And nobody does anything with packet. So I was just wondering, are there any packet stations out there now, today, that someone could connect to?
None that I know of. And they're really pushing this NetLink thing, and the NetLink thing has got as buggy as hell. I wish we could bring packet back.
Go to mi7.network. MI7.network, there's high-profile CDSs and BCT nodes in Macomb on VHF, UHF, and in the city of Detroit on VHF and UHF, 1200 baud and 9600 baud. So yes, it's still active and still running fine.
Find them at wacmn.net.
That is why I love this repeater so much, because you can get information like that. MI7.network, perfect. I will check it out. And yes, I'm just saying, you know, those who fail to learn history are bound to repeat it badly. That's kind of what it feels like. WinLink, MeshTastic, et cetera. It's like, great. It's a new version of packet. So, yeah, interesting. But thank you. That's exactly what I was looking for, guys.
Fantastic. KBNF still here.
Fantastic is utter trash. Got no real purpose. WACMN.
ACMN AD8JL. Emotionally, I agree with you. But frankly, anything that gets people playing with radios, I'll take it. Most of them are going to play with it. It scratched the itch and move on. But not everybody. Other people will look more into it. I'm kind of in the same boat. Every time I hear somebody excited about mesh tasking, I ask them, great, and now what purpose can it solve? What purpose can it serve? And nobody's given me an answer. I'm willing to play with it. It's certainly a low barrier to entry, low cost, et cetera. But I need something more than ugly, bulky, slow SMS. You know what I mean? So, and even the packet, I'm not looking for a real purpose, but I would like to play with it. So, I'm grateful that you guys have given me that information. 88 jail.
Yeah, this repeater, well, the repeater here on is linked to W8CMN, so covers a pretty wide area. Usually, there's always somebody listening. There's not somebody listening, they're lying to you.
With that, and it isn't just the fact that it's a bunch of repeaters, there's a bunch of people. There's a bunch of people who are doing different things. All kinds of people are direction that I like. All-star nodes and digital stuff like that. So this is always my, when I've got a techie question, I'll throw it out there and get an answer. So I appreciate it. So, yes, appreciate all of your guys' help.
No problem. Anything to make damage your radio world better. Keep it up here.
He's got time and doesn't mind chit-chatting a little more. What is the purpose for the MI7.network packet stations? Is there a specific goal that they're trying to achieve?
Yeah, of course. To save the world. When all else fails, you got WinLink.
Yeah, so alternative emergency communication, would that be a fair summary?
Do it because we can to promote amateur radio in the state of Michigan and give people the opportunity to communicate. And I'll go back to my last statement. When all else fails, that's why we do it. It'll be there, packet. You can send a message to the state EOC Lansing on a packet. I don't care how it gets there. Whether it's across the internet or across RF, it's going to get there. It's like the U.S. Postal Service.
But to promote the art and science of radio communication. And honestly, that's what I'm looking for, too, to get something to play with, to get more familiar with it. But the reason why I was asking, I also don't want to interfere with that, more monitor or more, rather than be playing with it. Like I said, I'll look into it.
They're very used with, that's why it's there. Doesn't get used, what's the point of its stuff being there, so. No. Have at it. There's packet is alive. You know. The Janoff died in the 80s, and now it's WinLink. I think there might be one node on Janoff in Ann Arbor somewhere, or somewhere on the Ann Arbor outskirts, or something that somebody's running across the repeater as a multi-mode or something, I don't know, but yeah. No Janoff, so don't ask about Janoff. That's long gone, buried, dead, covered in mounds and mounds of trash. Over.
I appreciate the information. That's exactly what I'm looking for. Well, I'm about 3 minutes away from my destination, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap it here. I appreciate everyone's time and giving me the information. And John Hagen, pick up a microphone. I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks for your time. 88JL.
No problem. Anytime. I don't know who thought Packet was dead, but they must not have been out here in the last 10 years because it's been talked about many times, you guys, in Macomb County. Just got another one put up over there, so it's alive and well. KBNSW, Grand Rapids.
W8RJD, mobile. NAWRO, here. Go ahead, Gene.
Hey, Tim. I was just curious if you heard John and I's QSO while I was picking her up on the bike.
Yes, I did. I was out in the car at the time, and I just had the DM32, so I didn't join in. But you were much better. You were very readable, even being on the bike. So, yeah, I'd go with that. Everything John said, I agree with.
very nice. It's not something that I would use all the time, that's for sure. But it's cool that it's a capability, and obviously not something I would do all the time.
And as a former fellow writer, I would only say get the PTT fixed, or maybe even consider Vox. I don't know.
So that was just a brief test. The PTT button does work. I didn't realize that when I had it charging on my external battery pack, the battery is so small that the battery pack turns itself off because it doesn't detect enough of the load. So it was dead. I've got it charging now, but it was dead. But it is something where it's got a little elastic Velcro strap that you could strap to the handlebars. So maybe if I use it for that, that's where it'll go. But I just wanted to test it. I was getting ready to leave, and I'm like, you know, I wonder. And another comment after your turn, KE8LAX.
At the end of the day, good test. I liked it. I should have chimed in, but there was a EMS going by with the siren on. I was on the HT, and I said, John's got it covered. Go ahead.
So two things. Were you able to get the EM32 fixed, or have you left it? Also, as a reminder on the DM32, if you haven't already, your ID has to go back in it. And also, this has been in the back of my mind since the set. When Tom and you were trying to contact St. Clair County, I had found out when I went up there for photos for homecoming that those repeaters are voice activated. The Bell River one, you have to give it some voice before it'll open up. I found that really interesting.
So that might have been part of our problem, because after the set, when I did looked at the code plug, it was all correct. It was all right. So we just spent too much time on it up there, so we just went on to the next task, and then I was going to take it apart. I figured I had something wrong in the code plug, but it turned out it wasn't. Item two is, I switched my ID back to mine for the HT, but no, I have not gotten to put the CSV back in the file with a new one. So I'm still planning to do that, but I see what you mean. It's something's off with that. So I'll just probably re-image it with, I might go ahead and download a new CSV file, and I don't know if I necessarily need as much as I have in there. Michigan would probably be fine, and we'll go from there, and I'll let you know how that comes out. But I kind of like having that radio back, because there is more data on it, and it does have an A and B side. I like the A and B side as well. A little crunchy there, Dean, but I heard that. So no, it doesn't. So it's kind of like a Motorola. You have to kind of rely on your scan. You have to set up the scan and just scan whatever you're interested in monitoring. And that kind of works as a workaround, or maybe that was the original. So it works. It just takes a little getting used to.
Ah, fair enough. Yeah, that was one thing I did find out about this new radio is it does have an A and B, just like the 32, and it does allow you to listen to a digital and an analog separately, so I really do like that feature, and hopefully that's a little bit better. I was, I'm over by Wally's QGH and going to the local hardware store. And I was on the Warren machine. Now I'm coming into the Richmond machine. Is that any better?
much better than the Warren machine. However, that is a pretty much of a dead zone for everything, so you get some popcorn going. But perfectly readable.
There, I bumped the power up just a little bit more to make it a little better. But yeah, so I just I was just curious on your comments on the on that test. So that's pretty awesome. It's just a cool feature to have. I appreciate your feedback, and I'm waiting for this little bit of sprinkle and rain to clear out so that I can get on the roof. I acquired an antenna that is a diamond dual bander with a few ground plane radials, so I think that will perform that bung that I have up there.
Aha, so you're finally able to get it from them. That's good. Yeah, well, be careful. Don't want to doing roof work when it's slippery up there.
Oh, 100%. We're supposed to have a little poke of sunshine. I'm going to wait for some of it to dry up a little bit, and I should be good. But yes, I did get it from him after the meeting. I was able to fit it all in the car, and the one I was able to get apart and figure out what was wrong with it because it thought that it might be broken. But what looks like happened is it looks like there was quite a bit of power being pushed through it, and so the copper element in the middle is a little bit warm looking, but there's these foam rings, and the foam rings actually melted, so the antenna was kind of rattling around in the tube.
I was curious on what you might find. So that is interesting. Did you like repair it, or is it look good enough to use, or what's the deal?
I believe this is the UMP. This might sound a little better on my end. Am I on the right frequency? This is Kilo Echo 8 Lima Alpha X-ray.
NAWRO, yes, you're sounding better. That's good.
Luckily, there's a lot of machines that I can use. But no, so I put the VNA on it, and it was working fairly decent. I cleaned up some of the corrosion on the radials, and now the SWR reading and my impedance readings are very, very close to the factory data sheet on it. So I'm cleaning it up and making it work. I think corrosion and age was a factor on that particular antenna.
Well, that sounds great, Dean. You're going to be one of the few around here, I think, that actually will get their antenna work up on the roof, completed and done before the snow flies. That is awesome. NAWRO.
KEALAX. After the, I was going to just hold off, but after the discussion that we had about me assisting and possibly jumping in on doing net control, I definitely wanted a better, more stable setup that I trust actually putting a mobile on. Because that Edfong, it reads good on the 7.2, but when I start deviating anywhere in the UHF and some of the VHF band, it starts getting a little hinky, so the only thing I felt comfortable putting on it was an El Cheapo Baofeng, and that's actually how I've been getting into the nets every week. So having something that's a bit more trustworthy to actually set up for a base, I'm excited about.
Yep, that's a really good idea. And from your QTH. Obviously, you're going up here to Richmond.
Well,
I don't know. You're kind of in between. On the 7.2, you're in between. I always forget which one the voter favors. I guess it depends on the new antenna. We'll have to see how which one it does favor.
Yeah, almost every radio I key up, the voter flips back and forth between the two because I'm literally right in the middle, signal-wise. Although I believe I'm actually closer to the Mount Clemens machine. The Richmond and Mount Clemens seem to favor me together equally. So yes, I am interested to see if with that antenna, which one favors me more.
Very good. Looking forward for that test, too. So, all right, Dean, sounds good. I think I'm going to get back to it. N8WRO, after you.
Sounds good. Same to you, 7-3s. I'm sitting in the parking lot of Lumberjack in New Baltimore. Going to pick up a few bolts for some mounting of this antenna. And maybe some good tape for my connections, and I'll be doing that as soon as the roof dries up a little bit. So 7-3s, and we'll talk to you soon. This is Kilo Echo 8, Lima Alpha X-ray. I will be clear.
KE8WUO, KE8LAX, East Walter.
N8WRO. John, was that you?
Yeah, it was me. KE8WUO. Just trying to the note again, trying to see if it's coming through any better. But still no hard Ethernet connection, but it seems to be staying connected for the time being.
Yeah, once again, when it's connected, that signal is strong. Very good. Full quieting. Wally standards.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's the nice thing about the node is it should be crystal clear. It's just a matter of whether or not my internet connection is staying at Victor Delta standards. Might have a little bit of an echo because I'm hearing myself, but hopefully it's turned down now. But yeah, I heard your guys QSO and monitored the whole thing, and nothing dropped out. So I was thinking I might be doing a little bit better now. But so far, so good.
So it's just a stability of the internet there rather than any, I thought we were mentioning some heating, overheating factor too.
Yeah, that's one of the things I do need to keep an eye on to see if it is having any issues with overheating. So far, you know, I haven't really had any long QSOs or anything, but yeah, I'm hoping that it is not overheating and works out well, but we'll see. I gotta put it through its paces, but I should probably do it with a better internet connection. So I'll probably do it at home tonight. I'll connect it over Ethernet and throw out the call somewhere and see if anyone chimes in and says hello. But so far, I think it's going okay.
Well, since I got you on the line, we might as well do a little work to keep the QSO going. I was working on the, let's call it the database-friendly roster. You know, just creating the new columns. So we've got the titles split off from the names. And then I'll end up doing first name and last name too. But now we got to figure out where everyone actually goes because of the new organization. So a little bit of a pause on that, but there, you know, no drastic issues. We do have a new position called specialty officer. So we're trying to figure out where that fits in. And, you know, but we'll put it together, and then this can be the base for your work. However, it's always going to be different than the FDS-98 because we add information. information after the fact someone joins up. So I guess you and I, maybe Mike, might have to hash that out eventually. N-A-W-R-O.
Yeah, I envision two possible scenarios. Number one is we might use a different form than the current form, or we alter the current form to capture first name, middle initial, last name, suffix, to just kind of feed it into the database separately. But we can always separate it later. But then there's also the potential that we would move to a Microsoft-based form that maybe we would link to from the Google sheet, you know, the Google page. But hopefully sooner or later that will all move over to an actual website, and then, you know, we can host whatever we want on there. But yeah, I like the direction. Oh, and then as far as the FDS-98, we can capture the data from the form and just have a big kind of, you know, personnel database with all of their information, and we'll just add the extra bits that we gather to the FDS-98. So in other words, the FDS-98 can have more fields than what the form will fill out, and then we'll add those in as we need. That way we just have the one, you know, big database, and then we can make a public-friendly derivative of it, kind of similar to that last thing I showed you guys in our last command meeting, where we, you know, programmatically create the derivative off of that, and then we can host that on a link on Discord or something. And so hopefully that all got through to you. We'll see.
Yep, you've got the idea. That's perfect, because that, as you know, that database doesn't stay stale as of right now, because people get quote-unquote promoted to AEC or something like that, and so we have to go in there and record that. But if we can do it directly on the, I guess you'd call it the main database, that solves the problem. That'd be it. We're good. So you got it. N-A-W-R-O, over to you.
Yeah, that's why I like the one big universal database where we create the derivatives off of it, because it can get a little tedious to update all these secondary databases and spreadsheets, but if everything derives from the master, then that's really helpful, because like you said, positions change, we have call signs changing, we have new call signs for like GMRS, you know, we've got kind of a lot going on, and so just having one place to update that, and then having that all pushed to it, you know, other derivative public documents is probably the best, you know, it's going to be the easiest user-friendly way to do it, I'm hoping. So this is K-E-A-W-U-O.
And you're still readable, so far so good. Yep, you've already considered what I was a little concerned about, so we're going to be good. That'll work. And, you know, like the first name, last name, yeah, the current form does not differentiate between first and last names or junior, senior, so, but that's really, we can fix that. We just have to figure out how do we want it displayed, you know, and that we have to decide now because of the new way we're organizing. So that's not on us. That's on a group above us. So we'll see what happens. Sounds good, John. I'll let you go for now. N-A-W-R-O, after you.
Well, very good. I appreciate the test of the All-Star link here and a brief QSO to kind of put things through motion. And then, you know, we can always concatenate the first name, last name, you know, onto derivative databases or spreadsheets. So it shouldn't be hard. hard to handle any situation that management prefers. So it's kind of the beauty of having it separated is, you know, maybe sometimes we just want the first name, sometimes we want the full name, and having it easily, you know, queryable in that fashion should help. So, but I'll let you go. This is KE8WUO. I'll be clear.
NAWRO clear QSO as well.
W8RJD mobile. W8RJD monitoring mobile.
This is WFU Mobile 22.
This is ABY Mobile.
If you ain't tooting, how can I prove it?
Well, you're just gonna have to trust me.
Yeah, trust is a dish best served cold. Wait a minute, I'm mixing my metaphors.
Yep. Off to go get the kiddos from the bus stop.
Well, either you do it or someone else will.
Yeah, I really got to deal with the oldest. Had her started doing her steps towards her braces and stuff to get her teeth all moved around, and she's had her like an Invisalign for 3 days and already lost it.
So I know there's like, is that wire that kind of like you put on at certain times that you can pop it out when you need to, or is this something else? It sounds like something new since I last paid attention to the world of orthodontics.
You get some sort of bars on her teeth that are moving them so that she can get braces. I guess they gotta do some pre-movement, and then she's gotta wear like a basically a plastic copy of her teeth so it looks just like movement, you know. And she's had it for 3 days and already lost the thing. And I guess they gave you a spare, and she just said, oh, we'll just use a spare. Never told anybody. So it was a whole day and a half where they could have been looking for it. And she just figured, oh, I've got a spare. I don't have to worry about it.
They're called a retainer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we don't care about it. It's just money.
They have no concept of what things cost. And with girls, they generally don't acquire that information or that knowledge.
They're called retainers.
Yep, as we said.
I thought we called them daughters.
Yeah, I think that's what she's been calling them. That was a great term for it or not, but yeah, it's like $600 a pop, and let's see, the orthodontist, they give us an extra built-in one free replacement.
So, she waited 2+ days to tell you. How long has she had them? How long did it take her to lose them, the first pair?
She got it on Friday, lost it on Sunday, which is kind of out about it, so spend time on Tuesday.
Nice. Well, you know, she means business. No messing around, no dilly-dallying.
Yep, I don't know. This rate will hopefully not have to be replacing too many of these.
Well, at 69, I'll be wearing Invisaligns next year. I'm just starting today. I was in the dental chair for about 2 hours today. The demolition and destruction of my mouth is complete, and now I'm starting on the restoration and restore work of what's left. And then next year I start the when all that's done, then I start the I guess what you'd call the cosmetic side, and I'll be wearing Invisaligns, mainly for the bottom, but I also have to wear them on top to balance everything out. So that's the project I'm looking at. Phase two of three phases started today.
Yeah, my stepdad's going through the demolition, and they wanted to put cadaver teeth in, and he didn't want cadaver teeth, he's going to be without teeth for a while, this whole adventure is about $6,000 worth of putting in her mouth. Maybe next year I'll see her sister, too.
W8RCY. Well, my brother and sister, they're in their 70s now, but they had braces when they were, you know,
we're going to hear about
18, something like that, 12, 13 years of age, they got braces. And here I am now, at, like I said, 69, and I'm not actually having braces put in. They're going to put in, like you're talking about, Invisaligns. And that was the consultation today. That part will be next year, because this year we have to do fillings and crowns and things like that. And I've had 7 extractions done in 2 shots over the last month, and had 2 weeks off for my mouth to heal. And phase two is, like I said, just started today. I was in the chair for a couple hours getting stuff done. But hopefully maybe by summer of next year, most of this will be complete, and my mouth will look normal again.
What's the advantage or disadvantage to cadaver teeth?
I don't know. He's got his own chair at the dental office. He's there, you know, biweekly. So it's, I don't know what his thing is. He was getting implants, but for some reason they have to heal so many months, and it's. I think if they could put cadaver teeth in, they could do it faster or something like that, but now they have to let it heal, and then they can open them back up and do porcelain teeth or whatever. I don't know. It's hopefully something I don't have to worry about.
Well, I'm having one implant put in to do the work on the bottom, but like I said, it was a softball injury where I had a tooth sheared off, and I just never got it taken care of immediately, and I got teeth on the, I got more alignment problems on the bottom than I do on the top. All the destruction and just work was up on the upper mouth, towards the back, and I never had my wisdom teeth pulled when I was a kid like my brother and sister did. But all I gotta say is I've got a wonderful dentist, and we've got everything mapped out, and probably 9-10 months overall. This will be overall program is going to be about 9 or 10 months. W8RCY.
Filled up the tank. WFSN.
And my stepdad's dad had his pulled out when he was like a teenager. That whole side of the family had bad teeth.
That's
pretty good so far.
Well, I just didn't get the work done in my teenage years for braces. For some reason, I just never got them. I wasn't afraid to get them because my brother and sister had them. and there's a significant age gap of about 8.5-9 years between them and me. But played hockey for 12-13 years. I never lost a tooth, and then at 52 in a church softball league game, I got hit by a flying softball and in the jaw, and it shoot off a tooth and knocked the alignment out on the bottom. And like I said, I just neglected it. So, but now I'm fortunate, blessed, whatever you want to call it, to have the insurance to get all this good stuff done and repaired. And so I have a fairly nice looking smile that I could, I'm not afraid. I mean, my teeth aren't that bad. I'm not afraid to smile, but it's just, I just, stuff I wanted to get done. And fortunately, I'm now getting it done. It's going to take a while, but it'll be done.
Katie, handling this part of her problem is that she got a big misalignment and they have to pull it back in order to start doing braces on it. So, it'll be, I want to say, like 18-month ordeal or something like that. Got to have some work done. Her sister's only 13 months apart, so I'm sure that shoe will drop next year, too. We'll see.
Well, like I said, my brother and sister are in their 70s, and so at least, 60 years ago they had their work done, 60, 65 years ago. The technology today is so much better and so much, greater. And, they have, metal braces on their teeth with rubber bands and everything else going on in their mouth. Now you got things like Invisalign to, make it easier. And, of course, probably the costs go up. I heard you say something about the prices. It's the one that she lost again, a retainer, I think is what they're called. But, technology's changed, and definitely. I mean, there's that company that puts full restoration implants in 24 hours, but I'm not going to, go bankrupt in the process and that kind of leery. I mean, with the work they're doing on me in stages, just for what they've done so far, I can't fathom how they do full extraction and full implants, upper and lower complete arches in 24 hours. That just blows my mind.
And rip it all out and throw some studs in and give you a clip on, I guess. The old dreaded headgear that they used to I didn't have to have that, but I guess my ex-wife did.
Oh, yeah, the headgear. I think my sister had to use it for a while, but I don't remember my brother having to wear it. But yeah, the headgear, too. Holy cow. That was a thing to wear. Be caught wearing, It's like, I wouldn't be caught dead wearing something like that, but that was the thing back then in the 60s, that's for sure, for them. And, she's going to have a lot of modern technology at her, she can even, if she has to actually have braces put in, you can get clear braces now, you can get all white braces put in, and if you're really young, under the age of maybe 12 or so, or 10, you can get multicolored braces put in, from what I understand, and, it's, Art Deco, at the Art Deco look in your mouth. When you smile, you got all these different colored tiles and stuff on your teeth.
I guess they didn't even do implants or not implants, impressions. They just did a 3D scan of her mouth, and they were able to recreate everything from that. Asked the ex-wife, so did you get an STL of that so we can throw that on the 3D printer? She can print out her own mouth.
Right. You brought up an interesting point. I mean, that's probably how these places like Nuvia that do these 24-hour operations, they say, new teeth in 24 hours or whatever it takes, and you spend the night in this place, and they do it all in one shot. They have a 3D technology. There you go. There you go. You take a 3D image of the mouth structure, and then you do what's the other thing you mentioned? I can't remember. But anyway, you do all that, and you put it on a printer, and boom, there you go. Maybe that's how they do it. That's interesting.
Frank, we weren't allowed to say that.
WYM, WNFU.
Yes, sir.
I got a little bit late start because I had to get gas. I didn't realize that. Anyhow, I'm at 15 in Grosbeck. Going to run down, grab the freeway, and we'll see you shortly. Just FYI.
Fair enough. Give me a yell when you get close. WYM.
Okay, enough about dental work. Let's get to a better topic. What's for dinner? I kind of heard what was going on.
I got brat and brat sausage.
Hey, I might be right by your house. Don't tempt me there, Fred. And I know you got pork, too.
Actually, I'm up in Frankenmuth, so, yeah. I literally just got out of Kearns, got brats and brat sauce, stopped at Traverse City Distillery, got me some bourbon, and I'm making my way, I don't know, I gotta figure out where I'm going next.
Sounds like you need to go to ABY Acres and cook those brats up.
Brats and brats. Oh. Well, now I'm kind of hungry. I did pick up some wedding franks and cheese curds for Michelle, so. But, man, I'm hungry. I did a little bourbon tasting. Now I'm hungry.
Come with the cheese curds? You're in the right place to be hungry.
I kind of want a taco, though, but I don't think there's a... Well, maybe, isn't there a... There might be a Taco Bell on the north side of town here. Oh, well, I'll go south. Get back to Oakland.
You have to ask a local where to get tacos there.
Taco, taco, burrito, burrito, taco, taco. I give you taco for kisses.
Go to Taco Bell and convince the AI chatbot you want a taco.
What's funny is, I asked it, because they don't have the Mexi Melt button anymore or whatever. I say I want a cheesy roll-up, add meat, and pico, which is basically a Mexi Melt. And the computer always, the AI always adds chicken. And I'm like, no, beef. It can't understand that, so always someone has to come on and say, I know what you want. I'll fix it.
Hey, last time I ordered a number two with a Coke and or a Pepsi, and it's like, oh, you want two Pepsis? I'm like, no. And then it's like, okay, well, can we want to add cinnamon sticks with that? I'm like, no, I don't. They'd have a person come in and, like, fix the order so that that's actually what I wanted.
Well, Michelle will get the chicken flatbread, but you sub... She doesn't like the flatbread. She likes the flour tortilla, so that confuses it even worse. The AI does not like us at all. And that's just fine.
Yeah, I've decided I'm going to see Taco Bell and I'll deal with their stupid thing.
I believe I discontinued Taco Bell back when they discontinued the volcano tacos, the ones with the red shells. I haven't had one of those, and I've been retired, 12 years? And that was the last time I had one, and I've not seen them pretty much since. Volcano Tacos. Those were like my favorite.
Yeah, those were LTLs, so yeah, you're not going to see them ever. Well, they might come out with them, I guess, but those were always an LTL.
I'm not the biggest fan of Mexican, but we were coming home from a long road trip, and one of the guys says, you want tacos? And I said, all right, I'll get a couple. And they were coming out as new, you know, new thing. And I said, all right, I'll try a couple of those. And then I tried them, and I got hooked on them. And until about another year later after I retired, they took them off right after I retired. I was like, oh, gee whiz, my retirement put Volcano Tacos out of business because nobody's buying them but me. Kind of a thing, you know. You quit eating them, they quit making them, poof. W8RCY will be clearing out as well. We got to figure out what we can eat. I did get the all clear, though, that I can chew on both sides now. So I didn't have to favor one side over another over the past 6 weeks. So that's good to know. But now I don't know what I want. Everybody have a good afternoon. Sean, enjoy your evening. Be safe on the way home. Enjoy your special dinner. And we'll talk to everybody either later or tomorrow morning.
Found the Taco Bell on Bertrand.
W.S.
Were you trying to get inside, or was that interference?
It's a mystery. What's shaking? W8FU.
Oh, sorry, he was handing me my bag, so I'm back now.
Good afternoon. What'd you get, Fred?
A Mexi Melt and a Silomayor.
Sean, are you a T-Bell guy? I don't know if you are or not.
Am I what? I didn't quite catch the am I what. But my stop is straight ahead. I am going to T-bone into where I got to be. So I might be out of here in just a minute. What was the question?
I said you're not a T-Bell guy, are you? Tangle Bell, like Taco Bell.
Hold on, phone call. And I'll be back. Give me a few.
We're never going to find out.
To be continued in the morning.
All right.
Good afternoon.
I'm a visitor. This one RC, hello, are you?
There was a double there, but I heard you both. Good afternoon, Donald. And Fred, I still got you. You said you're on Flint now?
They're transmitting to Flint, receiving on Mayville, I think. I don't remember. Mayville was, I was losing it, so, but I was, yeah. I was just getting on 75 cells. And I got my next email and a 7-layer.
Well, enjoy that, T-Bell. I got vegan at lunch when I said that's what I wanted, so maybe tomorrow. Go ahead, Donald.
Taco Bell. I haven't had Taco Bell. You came into the conversation a little late there, Dakota, but Volcano Tacos were my favorite back when I was eating those things, and I sure do miss them, and I think when I retired, they retired the Volcano Taco, because Fred was saying they were for a limited time only. Well, I must have consumed them all out of business because they haven't made them since I quit eating them when I retired.
I've never had a volcano taco. They might bring it back on the Decades menu, though. They've been doing that a lot recently.
Well, I got my 7-layer. Delicious.
Well, being Polish, German, and Belgian, I'm not a big Mexican food fan, but those things were just off the chain when I said earlier I was on a road trip and we were coming back, me and somebody, and we just decided to stop in there, and I said, all right, I'll try a couple of these because they were new, and I got hooked on them, and I was eating them until I quit working, and they kind of disappeared after that, but... Other than that, I sent you a text with something about a backpackable radio, Dakota. Did you get it?
I've been hooked on the Flamin' Hot Grilled Cheese Burrito that they have right now. I highly recommend if you like spice. And how long ago, Donald? I have not seen anything come through yet.
Probably because I sent it on Discord at the time. So check your Discord messenger. I don't know if you're set with a backpackable radio, but it's this thing that a friend of mine got on Temu or AliExpress, and now they're available on eBay, and I just sent you an eBay link to it just to look at. I don't know where you are with it, if you did get a radio, but I heard the conversation you and Anthony were having, and I just thought I'd toss that in there. And it seems like a nice little unit, for sure. So just catch up with it when you can. And like I said, it's just a like an FYI thing to maybe help you if you haven't already gotten a unit.
Okay, I appreciate it. I don't have my Discord notifications on, but I do check it periodically. I had them on for a bit, but it got too much when there's a conversation going and I'm in the middle of stuff. But I ordered an Anytone 778 and some pouches, some miscellaneous pouches, and I 3D printed some rails for it and a relocation bracket. So I'm going to see how that all fits together. I got another Dakota Lithium battery coming, or that got delivered today, and we'll see how that shakes out.
Leave some space there. Yeah, like I said, I didn't catch the entire conversation, and on Tuesday I was heading to the cardiologist. That's why I was in and out. First Tuesday of the month cardio checkup. And I didn't, like I said, I just saw it and I had a chance, so I just sent it to you. But if it's helpful, great. If not, and you're all set and ready to go, then just keep it for future information for somebody else. It might work for them. But other than that, though, yeah. Okie dokie.
Yeah, I'll check it out for sure. I think I'm good right now, but this is always an evolving thing. I changed the bag that my 857's in also, so... but the gist of it is I don't want to I can't, according to my wife, permanently mount any radio gear in her truck. So it's mag mount and bag radios. And I was running an HT, and I got sick of the 5 watts, so now I'm running an 857, which this is not what this radio is meant for. So I got a cheap Chinese radio that's super small to hopefully fill that void. So we'll see. But I appreciate you sending it. I'll check it out.
Well, you know, with eBay, you can, you know, they say visit the such and such a store. I looked through that company, that radio company's store, and they make smaller radios that could possibly fit, you know, out of the way in an armrest box or under the seat or in the glove box or something like that. If you're looking for a size thing, my main purpose was you were talking about backpack stuff and... or bug-out bags, or whatever the application is going to be. The two people that I know that bought this particular radio, they put them in bug-out bags, and they just bought bags from an Army surplus store, like Joe's Army Navy out there in Pontiac, and we got a couple of them here on the east side. Can't think of the one that's on Gratiot, but I think they call it M6, or whatever, or M3. Yeah, M3 is the designation for Gratiot Avenue surplus store. They didn't buy any high-end ones, but like I said, it's just a little something I came across that might be beneficial. And good luck with that, trying to get a radio in her vehicle. My girlfriend's vehicle is a lease vehicle, and we're just having a hang-up you know, trying to do an antenna. We might end up just doing a glass mount or something on hers, the old cell phone looking type glass mounts that they make. And they make them for all frequencies besides cell phones and scanners and things like that. That's a working project for next year.
I just found your message, so I'll check it out when I'm not driving. But, yeah, I mean, she drives my truck more than she drives her own, and mine has an antenna on it. So I don't know what the difference is, but I took it as, okay, a new way to play radio, big deal. So I'll check it out when I get home, and then I actually got a new base station antenna today, too, with 6 meters on it. So I'm going to try to get that thing up in the air tonight and maybe jump on the 2-meter sideband net.
I'm still playing in my UHF world. It's just, it's expanding. I mean, I've been in like the 450, 470 band. Then I expanded to the 440, 490 band. Now I'm down to like 400 to 490 band because of my DMR for Motorola. They're down in the 430s, I think, something like that. So it's just a constant expansion there. And with me being in 70 centimeter, I got ham just to expand my, I got my ham ticket just to expand my needs in UHF, because I've been a UHFer for as long as I can remember, and, you know, with commercial radios and racing and their frequencies and everything else. So that's where I am, that's where all my equipment is, and that's pretty much where I'm happy and content. But I try to get as much involved with it as I can in the various applications that are available. Be it, you know, amateur radio and hobby radio and commercial radio.
There's definitely no shortage of stuff to do and mess around with. I haven't done much 2-meter in my ham career here, but I'm starting to dive pretty deep into it now that I found I just really love simplex and sideband 2-meter, so that's where I've been screwing around the most. Greg and I were talking the other day, which was pretty damn cool. We were on D-Star, FM, and sideband, and, you know, UHF stuff is kind of like my home ground area. I mean, that's where I spend 99% of my time because it's my drive time. But I'm kind of getting back into it with this, trying to fill this radio role that's small and works better than an HD.
Yeah, I find even in racing, you know, you mentioned talking simplex. You would think a track like a famous track like the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, 2.5 miles around one lap, but the straightaways are only, you know, 3/4 of a mile, so you can get away with simple simplex communications. But every race team and every system at the track at the Indy 500 Memorial Weekend, I don't know really any true, I mean, I don't have, you know, certain security frequencies to the facility, but the operational frequencies that we use, everybody's running repeaters, and it's like, gee whiz, you know, it's just crazy the amount of frequencies that are used, and sometimes I see the printouts to the entire weekend mapping, and it's like, I don't know if my XPR, which is 1,000 frequencies, will hold it all. It's just nuts. It's mind-blowing. But, yeah, that's my realm. Like I say, UHF, and I'm just, when, like I said, I got my ham ticket just to expand my range of UHF capabilities. I'm not really interested in talking around the world. I can talk around the world through, you know, DMRs and All-Star links and things like that. Network radios, which I used to have, but I broke it, and I just never replaced it. But yeah, I'm happy and content where I'm at in the UHF world, and I am talking on a Baofeng UV5R version 1 ancient 5 water that I got as a gag gift when I got my ham ticket, and I'm using that to talk through my node.
Is that the old body style before they revamped them?
Well, with what limited knowledge I have of these things, because of my Motorola stuff, My Motorola stuff sitting over on my desk is giving me the evil stink eye right now as I'm sitting on the couch. Yeah, I guess it's just the original UV5R version 1, 5 watt, and I think low power is maybe 2 watts, and that's it. And I only have two frequencies in it, one for my All-Star and then one here for the local FBI and Warren. I haven't even programmed it yet or done anything else. It's just a nice, simple radio for me to carry around the campus and be able to communicate either through the FBI or through my All-Star. And that's all I use it for. I was in Kroger's across the street, which is about 700 feet away, and I was able to hit my note if I had to talk to somebody. But now I'm sitting here on the couch, 1 watt, or, yeah, I'm on 2 watts or whatever it is to the node, and I don't know how I sound, but I should get a consultation from Jack on that. But, yeah, that's all I use around here.
At AGF, there was a point where I was buying all of those in the different colors, and then I, like, had this epiphany of I'm never going to use these because I have so many of them, so then I returned them. But that was when they had, like, a yellow one, a red one, a blue one, obviously the black one, they had a black and chrome one, so I don't know. I went through that phase, but you sound fine, you're just a little hot. I don't know if you're just close to the radio or if the game's up, but your audio, there's no noise.
I'm about 10 feet from the node, and I moved the mic away from my mouth, pretty much doubled the distance, so maybe that's better. But when I got this, like I said, I got it as a gag gift from another ham operator for getting, you know, my ticket and everything else. And I said, what am I going to do with this? Well, since then, I bought the extended battery pack for it, and I have an inch and a half, not even 2-inch long bullet antenna on it. That's about the only customization I've done so far. But I have looked on eBay, and I found they make an exoskeleton for it that wraps around it, and it protects the knob, because the knob is very loose. When I got the knob tightened up, I found a trick to do that. But it also protects it from, if you knock the radio over, the PTT button is very exposed, and you can easily bump it and dead key without even realizing it, because if you look at the, you know, you take a close look at how it's constructed, the PTT sticks out at the furthest point. It's framed, but it still sticks out, and it's like, what the what? So these people on eBay and Amazon are making these exoskeletons. They're about anywhere from 15 to 20 bucks, and it clamps to the battery, or not to the battery, the belt clip screws that go into the battery. That's how you mount it, and if you knock the radio over or if you brush up against it, you won't accidentally mess up the volume or PTT it by mistake, which are pretty cool. I might invest in one of those. So I'm tricking it out a little bit.
I don't know why, but I feel like I've seen those.
Oh, my God. Phone just started blowing up and just cascading events. I'm bad for about 2 minutes.
Was it all work-related stuff? And I hope it doesn't, you know, take away from dinner.
Well, I'm not allowed to do that work anymore, so started off with a call from the sheriff looking for somebody to do some work. I don't know why they got my number, and although if they can't, if all else fails, I'm the fail-safe. So I started down the list trying to figure out who in the hell was on call, and the guy that was on call, his furnace went out on him, and he had to leave early. Or the guy that's on call called in sick today, but he's still on call, so I called him. But the guy that was out there doing the work, that probably is a result of his work. It was just this cluster, you know what. And all the while I was playing DoorDash. But enough of my problems. I need an exoskeleton on my ding-a-ling. They make those, but I believe they're called a cage.
And I believe they have some of those with some real evil-looking extensions on them as well. So I digress.
Yeah, wasn't that the name of the full-body, like, casket thing that they did, the medieval torture? It was called an Iron Maiden. Had all the spikes on the inside, and they close you in it.
I believe so, yes. Things that I am glad that I never hopefully have to experience. But I'm going to clear out of here. I'm in Romeo. Phil just texted me. He's got a new antenna, so we're going to try simplexing on my way north here and see how it does. So I will catch you guys probably in the morning. I'm going to have a good night and enjoy your dinner. NADBF.
Yeah, we have a history of being a brutal species. All right, I'm about a block from home. I'm going to be making this my final because I'll be back in the driveway in a second here. Hi, bye, kind of, sort of. Velvet U8FU. Donald.
Copy that. Enjoy your dinner. I hear it's a real treat there. I heard some conversation earlier, and I got the all clears now. I don't have to chew on one side anymore going forward. So yeah, I'm going to give it another day or two before I start doing it. And yeah, that's about it here. And Exoskeleton, I was going to mention to Dakota if he still is here, he hears me. I'm looking at one for my Wuxon because my Wuxon's got the same issue with the PTT button sticking out more than its framework than anything else. And but I've not been able to find one for that. So if I do any more upgrades on the Bufang, it's going to be an exoskeleton to protect the PTT and the volume control. Okay, I'm out of here too. W8RCY, we'll see everybody either later on tonight or in the morning. Take care, everybody. Brian, was that you? It sounded a little scratchy. W8RCY.
Yeah, it's me. I'm in St. Clair Shores by 10 mile at Greater Mac on the HT in the truck.
That's a boring intersection to be at. There's nothing out there.
Yeah, I'm up at the dentist's office. Had my temporary crown re-cemented.
Yeah, in all the years that I lived in the Shores and I used to go down Greater Mac from 10 Mile and I used to go to Rag Keys to get hockey gear and stuff, that was just a boring intersection and they need to put something there. great place now with all the stuff that's going up now. Maybe that's a good corner to put a sheets on.
Yeah, it's still a very boring corner intersection. Nothing good around there. So, yeah, I don't think sheep will come around there in that area.
I believe the speed limit through there is still 25 as well. From, you know, back in the 70s, it was always just, it was never really a speed trap. It was just one of those areas, and Beechwood School was a school. It's not a nursing home or a senior citizen campus now. That's what they turned that into. I remember in the Shores, they were converting a lot of those elementary schools into other type facilities, senior citizen centers and things like that throughout the city. I said, you know, one day the circle of life is going to come around, and they're going to have to start building schools again. I mean, they're only down to what, in the Lakeview District, you just have one school, Jefferson Middle School, but back then it was Ottawa, and you had Ottawa and Chippewa in that district. I don't remember what the other districts had, you know, in their junior high and middle schools compared, you know, from junior high to middle school, the differences now.
I know on Lakeshore they get away with the middle school. Back when I was going into my junior year, they actually moved everybody from the ninth grade up to the high school, and all of the elementary schools became K-8. So, yeah, Rogers and Kennedy Middle Schools were kind of done away with.
Yeah, I remember Rogers there. It was pretty close to my parents' neighborhood, and Kennedy, I think, was on Masonic. But, yeah, Lakeview has just the one school now for middle school, and that's Ottawa. and right now Jefferson Middle School, and they haven't really done much to expand it. And Chippewa, of course, is demolished and gone. So one of these days, they're going to have to, you know, redo this. And in Lakeview, they went from K through 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. It's now K through 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 for the high school is how they restructured that.
Yeah, well, on the north end, I know they did about a third of the schools got closed, sold, or redeveloped, and they kept enough to get coverage from north to south in the district. Like Champaign became the administrative offices, and just other ones were just closed and redeveloped, so. The elementary school that I went to is still there, and the one that was attached to Rogers is still there, and the one up the street, Kennedy, is still there, but other than that, I couldn't tell you for sure.
Yeah, as far as my neighborhood there in the Lakeview District, my three schools are still standing, obviously. Greenwood was my elementary. It sat between 11 Mile and Martin, two blocks west of, it's not really two blocks, it's just one street really over from Ottawa Junior High, a.k.a. Jefferson Middle School, now at 11 and Little Mac. But like I said, if that's the only middle school they have for that entire district, they really haven't done much of anything to expand the building. They've changed the grounds. I know that. They built on the north side those tennis courts and a new entrance way in and some kind of turn off for, kids to be picked up and dropped off, like that kind of lane. And then the street Rockwood on the west side, they revamped that area for pickups and drop-offs of kids. But the actual structure of the building, I know they've made improvements to the building over the years. It used to be all glass, and now the windows are all gone except for these little slide-out things. They're sliding door wall windows. And Lakeview's expanded and been redone. I got to see it at their 50th reunion. I put in a request for that, and they honored it. We didn't get throughout the whole building, but we got to see a lot of the improvements in the new part. Because the old part is still the old part, and really not much has changed, so there was no point in letting us see the whole building from what it was like in 74. But with the new improvements they made on the east end, the far east end of the campus there, we got to see what changes were made there, and that was pretty amazing. And the pool is still there. The pool still looks the same. It's not, probably that could probably use some improvements. Doesn't look whether old or aged, but it's just some changes need to be made there. But it was good to walk through it for the first time in 50 years.
Yeah, well, Blue Turf included. Yeah, I've watched it change, but I haven't been in there since, 35 years ago, back when I was in school. Something like that. I graduated in 83. Anyway, long time ago.
Oh, yeah, our athletic field, oh, my gosh, the changes that have happened to that. I can remember even back in the 60s when my brother and sister were going through there, 8, 9 years before I did. And the changes that have been made, still living in the shore, still living on the east side, driving by it and seeing how many times, that whole field of sports complex was changed around and around and around. The bleachers changed around, the football field, track, everything. I've seen a lot of transformation there. And it's named after our athletic director, Richard Black. And unfortunately, Richard Black just passed away within the past year. He was a phenomenal athletic director for sure. And it's nice that the sports complex was named after him long before his passing, so he was able to enjoy it. I can't remember his son's name, but I think it was Terry. His son was a very athletic, multi-sports type athlete, because I know he played basketball, football, and did some track and field. We had a baseball team, but I don't remember the baseball team getting the recognition or significance that football, track, field, and stuff like that had. But like I say, that was, 50 years ago.
Yeah, well, our athletic field, the football field, was named after the athletic director for many centuries, George Crowan. I know he was a teacher and a gym teacher and a coach back in 1957 area when my father went there, and he was still doing gym classes and that when I was there. So, yeah, he was a very long time person there, and it was fitting that they named the field after him. So, yeah, comes around, goes around. I just haven't seen it in the last 30 years, so I don't know what kind of improvements and what color turf they put in or anything like that, but spent many a fall evening out there when I was there in the band practicing the marching maneuvers.
Yes, band marching maneuvers. I played instruments until I got to high school. I played saxophone and trumpet, but when I got to high school, I dumped all that. But anyway, you're familiar with the Lakeview campus. The far west end has the big auditorium and a huge parking lot. And I remember they actually striped the parking lot, not just for parking, but they painted a football field grid pad on it, complete with yard markers and numbers and everything like that. And the band used to practice in the parking lot after school. They weren't allowed, they never really parked they never really practiced on the football field. They always practiced at the parking lot, which I thought was pretty bizarre and crazy. A couple band members that I knew through high school, I said, why were you guys doing that? And I don't know. But I can imagine, just what it would have cost back in the 70s to strike that parking lot, as well as, put the parking lines in to make it look like a football field for them to practice on.
Yeah, well, we used the football field mostly. When the school started charging us, our band boosters, they just kicked in a couple more fundraisers to pay for it. And then the sports boosters complained because, they didn't have place, so they had to pay for their teams to practice, and they didn't have the funds for it. So they tried to get the band boosters to pay for the sports clubs to practice on the field. That didn't go over well, so they kind of formed a different fundraising group to pay for that. But, yeah, no, we mostly practiced in the evening, 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the evening on the football field.
Yeah, moving into the parking structure, or parking lot, excuse me. I'm so used to saying parking structures now. There on the west end of the campus, there were still homes in that area, and if there was a noise issue practicing on the football field with the homes back behind that. Granted, a lot of the homes were taken out when the expansion was done for the auditorium and the parking lot, but there are still some residents over there, and I know they complained about it as well. And there was my family doctor's office. Structures of the family doctor's office is still there, next to the 7-Eleven strip mall at 11 and Little Mac, corner 11 and Cedar. But yeah, anyway. Other than that, though, not much more to say here. I started round two today of the demolition work's done. Now the restoration and reconstruction work is starting on my mount. And so we started round two today, and I can eat normally and do everything because all the healing is done, and it's just now starting to put all the puzzle pieces back together and still fix a few things. And next year I'll get some cosmetic work done on the bottom portion that's a knocked out of alignment, and we discussed that today. So, yeah, I'm starting to eat normal again, and so on and so forth. Other than that, though, really nothing new. Nothing new at all.
Well, my restoration work starts after the first of the year when I get new money, but other than that, same old, same old. Although I did go to the benefits rep and start the process by getting my packet for retirement.
Yeah, my retirement package from things like Farmer Jack's. I've got, you know, benefits coming from them. I've got benefits coming from American Honda Motor Company and Verizon. I got my 10 years in on each one, so, I had a little problem with the Farmer Jack's people because when I started with Farmer Jack's, I was under the Amalgamated Meat Cutters and Butcher Workmen's Union, number Local 539 here in Madison Heights, and then it all changed to everybody's under one umbrella, regardless of what department you're working in, and because the Meat Cutters Union was separate from everything else in the grocery stores at that time. And getting that all transferred over, that was a nightmare. It's like, come on, you people merged these two unions together, and now we're all hitting retirement age, and you should make this a little bit easier on us, the meat cutters, that merged in with you at your request, if you catch my drift. So that was a bit of a hassle when it came to that, and getting the paperwork put together and so on and so forth. Everything else was fine.
Yeah, well, because I won't be drawing Social Security right away, because I won't be age 62, I automatically get extra money from the pension system and gives me time to get my ducks in a row to get my Social Security when I turn 62. So that makes life a little easier. And then, yeah, it's just, you know, I've got 30 and I am 60, so it's like $50 a year for each year that I go past 30, which is really nothing. So, yeah, I'm just going to get the heck out of Dodge, so to speak.
Yeah, back in the day, we didn't have anything like 30, you know, 30, 30 and out, things like that. I just found out recently, when I started with Verizon, technically in 99, because I was training in 99 while still working for Honda, they now have a 20 and out. So the people that get hired in now, you're only going to be with Verizon for about maybe 20 years, and they don't take anybody with anybody less than a two-year, at least a minimum two-year associate's degree, which I have at the time. But, you know, you come out of college, 4 years of college, and you get a nice management position with Verizon. I know now for a fact that at 20 years they buy you out. So those things have changed. But, I mean, when I got out of high school, I went right into Farmer Jack's, and because my dad got me into the union, and, you know, it was 2-year apprenticeship, 4-year apprenticeship program, but I passed it in 2 years with a little help from some family members who taught me the side tricks of, you know, meat processing, so on and so forth. But, the only thing the only hang-up I had with Farmer Jack's is, like I said, when I retired and I started looking at getting my packages together, and you were working with two different unions, and I went through an ugly meat cutter strike. Back in 85, I think it was winter of 85, and that was really, really bad, and I think that's what pretty much led to the merger between the two unions, because right after we had our strike, the UFCW strike, and or whatever it was called, the grocery union, maybe it was UFCW, I don't remember, but that's what merged the two. We had ours at first, and almost like a year after I left after that, I left in the summer of 85 after the strike, and then a year later, I think the UFCW people went on their strike, and then both unions merged into one, from what I recall, but that was 85, 86, 87 era, and the memory is starting to fade.
Well, I can tell you, I was in the military at that time. August 84 to April of 88. Active duty.
Well, for me, I was, you know, graduating in 74, my birthday falling late in the year. So technically, I was 17 when I graduated. 18 in September, and then by the time I was drafted, and they said it was the final year they actually did the lottery of the draft, and September 27th was number 002. Class 1A on my draft card, I can't remember the whole class number, it was 1A, blah, 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 something. So I was as good as gone and to be drafted, and the next thing I know is they abolished the draft. The draft never got initiated for that year, and I was just supposed to hang on to my draft card till I was 31, and then I got declassified down to class 1H or whatever it was. So I never saw time, I never served, never joined any form of the military. I just was a meat cutter all those years.
Yeah, well, I went out and had fun, saw part of the world. All right, I got an incoming phone call, and I'm just about to the house, so I will talk at you later. 73s, I'll listen out to your final WAEPD.
Okie dokie. Have a good evening. WARCY. We'll see you Saturday. If not sooner, talk to you sooner.
W-A-B-D.
Well, I didn't get to hear that. You're probably not going to be anything else.
You're a little staticky, but I got you. W-A-B-D. Saying good evening, Tom.
Where am I? I'm by Tom Summers Road on 69th Street.
Well, I'm heading over to 9 Mile and crash it from 9 and Ryan to unload a set of rims and tires.
Ooh, rims. Your
dad. Well, they're my winter rims from my old truck, which don't fit my new truck. So, yeah, I've been sitting on them. If somebody needs a set of rims, I'll make a couple bucks. Guys in the north. I don't get up there that often anymore, but back in the day I used to play around in that area.
out of that last transmission. Yeah, that doesn't help the cause much. I don't know if you can hear this or not, but I'm just about to my destination to unload these tires. I will talk at you later, and I will be standing by on your final if you can hear this. WADPD.
I see your small town made local news headlines today. I didn't find out until about 5 o'clock, but man, that's a shock. W8RCY.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's about a half mile from my house.
Well, throughout my day, I saw a headline of the incident, but it didn't, you know, and the headline didn't specify the town. And I just happened to have the news on and on live stream, and I saw, and I wasn't really paying attention. Then I heard the name of your town mentioned, and it's like, whoa, wait a minute here, you know. And it's like, holy smokes, and yeah. Sometimes you just don't know, and you know, it can happen anywhere to anybody in any city, municipality, or small town for sure.
There's no getting away from it, no matter how far away I move. The only thing I can say is, fortunately, that was not an Elmont resident. It was a Columbus resident. A disgruntled employee that, from what I've gathered, was terminated or something, and I don't know, that was his boss. I don't know the whole story. It's just what I've been getting pieces of, but I have a screenshot of my house from the Fox 2 helicopter flying right over it, which, not great, but you know, it is what it is. It was an isolated incident. Hopefully it's the only one I got to deal with in my lifetime.
Yeah, I agree. You know, being as far out as you are, I hope it stays that way for you and your family and your future out there, because I honestly don't think you have any plans of moving ever again, unless you get the lottery and, you know, move somewhere to a remote island somewhere. But, yeah, it's just, like I say, when these things hit close to home or hometowns or, you know, places of work, major companies like Verizon or Honda or Farmer Jack's in my career, you know, major things, you hear about, I remember in my times with Farmer Jack's from 75 to 85, there were a couple of, like, in-store robberies and a store manager was shot. Wasn't killed, but he was shot, and, you know, there was another incident because of a triangle, you know, adult loves triangle thing, but, yeah, and that was, you know, 40 years ago, but, yeah, I'm just, you know, hope it is isolated, and, you know, your town does stay quiet for sure, because even on the news report, they were saying this is, like, the first thing that's ever happened like this in this small town of yours, and I, you know, I could believe it. I mean, that's the reason for moving out that way sometimes.
We're humans, and it's, at the end of the day, we're animals, and there's always going to be violence, unfortunately, but it is what it is. So I keep moving further north every time I move, and no plans on moving anytime soon, but I don't think this is our forever home. Next stop will be further north.
Yeah, I get it. It's not like my parents. My parents stayed in their home for close to 70 years. My mom stayed just shy of 70 years. I think it was like 68 and a half years before we forced her to move her out, and then subsequently she died a couple of years ago, living a life to 98. But, yeah, city of St. Clair Shores is where I grew up, and 696, I-94, 11-mile road conglomerate interchange, there was nothing back in 1947-ish, I think is when they moved into that area. And, yeah, house is still there, the house is still standing, but neighborhood's changed, and diversity has changed and everything else. And I had opportunities to go back, and I could have had the house. Don't want a house at my age like that, a house that big. But that would need that much work anyways, because it's as old as the house was. But you catch my drift.
Sounds like my old house. They built that house in 53 and stayed in it until they went to a nursing home in 2018. I bought it in 19.
Well, when they built the house in 46, 47, I-94, north of 8 Mile out to Port Huron was never built. So that was done in the 60s, early 60s, I remember that. And then 696 was built in the late 70s and completed just in time. It was where they opened it up just in time to get my former pregnant wife to the hospital with our first child. That saved a lot of time in February of 82. But, yeah, when those two freeways were under construction, twice the county was planning on taking my parents' house out of the equation, because they were just three streets off the freeway, and they made it for 94. But as they widened the interchange to build the interchange for 696, they talked about taking it again, and they were able to get around it and still keep the house. But it is a house on a corner lot. And for a person in my condition, health and mobility, I just didn't want a house that big. Three-bedroom ranch, about 1,800 square feet on a corner lot. It would have just been too much for me, and I didn't want it. So I'm happy where I am in my little senior cubby hole, 85 feet up in the air, and, you know, I'm content where I'm at.
As someone who spent the last 15 months doing nothing but working on a house, or a yard, I should say, I get it. I know where you're coming from. My last house, for 3 years, all I did was renovate it, one room at a time. Then started on the basement, then the loft, and it was never-ending. We didn't do much in the yard, thankfully. That was done. Actually, I lied. I fenced in the whole yard, changed much landscaping, put a patio in. Houses are a lot of work and a lot of money, so not for everybody, especially if you're, you know, if you're not able-bodied enough to do it. I don't blame you. I feel like I'm not able-bodied enough to do it. That's all I did this summer was labor.
When I moved out of my parents' house, I had an apartment, townhouse condominium that I rented. Then I bought my first house when I got married, had one of two kids there. Well, they were, you know, both conceived there, but the second one wasn't born until after we moved out of there. And then I've had condominiums, mainly townhouse condominiums, up until my retirement in Harrison Township, Chesterfield Township, and then back in Harrison Township once I got divorced. And then when I retired, I didn't even want to do that and, you know, pay HOA fees and landscape fees and all that other stuff. And I just got this really good deal. Granted, it's state subsidized because I fall under a disability. But I'm in this nice little senior village. And like I say, it's not the Taj Mahal, and I've said it 1,000 times. But I'm comfortable here.
All that matters. You got to be comfortable where you're at.
Well, it's funny because I live on a main drag. I live right on DeQuinder, borderline between Oakland and Macomb counties. And, I mean, even at night, the only thing I hear at night in the summertime with the windows open are crotch rocket motorcycles whipping up and down 696 because I'm about 3/4 of a mile to a mile away from that. And, the occasional sirens because I have a local hospital and they come blasting through at 3 o'clock in the morning with their sirens going. But it's quiet. It's peaceful here. I'm not that far off. I'm actually about 300 feet off the road and traffic isn't all that bad really except for, like I say, the exceptional loud noises from certain vehicles. But I have everything within a half a mile of me in either direction. I can, you know, or you hear us talking about Saturday morning breakfast. I could walk up there, and Sean's kind enough to swing by and pick me up. But, I mean, if I absolutely have to walk, that's pretty much, I wouldn't say it's my limit for walking, because I've done 3 miles before COVID. I haven't tried to do 3 miles since prior to COVID. But, yeah, I got everything I need right here on DeQuinder, so I can't complain. And like we were talking about DoorDash, if worse comes to worse, everything I DoorDash is pretty much under a mile away, so... It's all good.
Yeah, even where I'm at, I'm about 800 yards, 850 yards away from M53, but it's all open fields between me and it. And I get the road noise, but honestly, I get more road noise off a driving road than I do 53. So it's inevitable, unless you live on 10, 15 acres in the middle of nowhere by no main roads, you're going to get that. And freaking DoorDash. DoorDash, my lunch today from Popeyes was still $26. And it was a BOGO deal. But on that note, I'm crossing my last intersection here. I'm going to be pulling in the house, so I will let you go and probably catch you in the morning. I'll be clear of yours, NABBF.
Yeah, copy that. In the DoorDash thing, I do get senior discounts, and I do have free delivery. Part of my senior discounts and things like that. So, yeah, it's still, you know, if I walked into a restaurant, I mean, the easiest thing for me to walk into is Starbucks across the street. And I did a price comparison, and mainly the price comparison is just the tip and a minor service fee adjustment that I do with the DD. But, yeah, like I said, for my situation, it works. And, you know, being out where you're at work, to wrap this up, I'm just saying, you know, for you to get out to go to lunch and get out on M59 there and try to finagle your way somewhere and find your way back and get back in and the time allotted, that's just in itself is a project for sure. So if the DoorDash occasionally, you don't want to go out there and face that traffic, yeah, again, it's a great solution. Have a great evening. Like I say, we'll probably catch you in the morning. I got therapy tomorrow, but I might be up for that. So do take care, and we'll catch you later. W8RCY.
Zero Echo 8 Alpha X-ray Charlie mobile.
WDA-KLL-KF8-DIC. KF8-DIC, clear.
WFSM, did I hear that call out here? W8FSM, WIUX. W8FSM, Whiskey India 8X-ray, alias N8FZT. Nothing heard, W8X.